Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Doctors Are In show, and I am your host, Dr. Rose Wilkerson. I am a certified life coach and spiritual teacher coming to you live from the Bay Area, Berkeley, California. The Doctors Are In show is one where we discuss and take your questions on anything and everything psychic, spiritual, hypnosis, meditation, energy healing, psychic development, and so much more. And joining me today, as always, is my fabulous co-host. He is a tarot advisor, numerologist, and life coach. And here he is, live from Tucson, Arizona, Dr. Dax Carlisle. Say hello, Dax.
Hello.
Hey, I'm here. For my voice. Yeah. I have to apologize.
Me too.
For
my voice is kind of messed up today too, Rose. I don't know what's going on. You guys have smoke though where you're at.
Yeah, we do. We have some fires that north of us. This is a very dry time of the year for us. So we usually have fires. And then also we had a storm last week that came through, and lightning that created fire as well. So we get some of that in the Bay Area, and I think that's what my friend is responding to. So I apologize, everybody. But how you doing, Dax, other than the frog in your throat?
Yeah, we don't have smoke here, but, of course, it's, you know, been between 110 to 115 degrees the last few days, and you know, I'm sitting here drinking water. I'm in air conditioning, but it still affects you when you're outside in it. You know, we've been outside in it, obviously, but, you know, moving around and going places and stuff. And I'm not in my normal location to do the show. I'm over at Doug's place here, you know, so it's a little odd, you know. You ever notice that? It's like if you're really used to doing something in a particular location or something like that, you know, and you have to do the same thing but in a different location, you know. So like for you, you're teaching at Berkeley. And then it's like, okay, but now you got to grab your computer and you got to do your class from Jane's house down the street suddenly because, I don't know, the power goes out at your house. And so you go down to your friend's house and you're not in your normal surroundings.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a little bizarre today. And I don't know what's going on with my voice. I think had too much fun last night. You know, we had we were out at the American Legion and then came home and did pizza and movie night, and it, you know, I ate way too much candy. You know, I had all the candy, and you know, after the pizza it was the movie with the candy, and you know, and it's like I can't watch a movie without, you know, my candy. And I had cotton candy and some caramels, and you know, and I'm just like, I ate too much of that, you know, maybe that's contributing to my malaise this morning. I was on a sugar high and now I'm on a sugar low or something.
Wow.
So everybody out there listening, you know, if you're listening at Archive, yeah, me and Rose, we're just messed up today. I don't know. Anyway. But and it's quiet. It's really quiet. We do have some folks calling in, but hopefully we'll get more callers as the show progresses here. We do have a topic to talk about, so it's going to be fun. We're going to do that, and hopefully we'll get some more callers. If not, we're going to have a really short show today. And let's give out the phone number, Rose. It's 714-816-4628. It's an Anaheim exchange. I want to say that we're coming, you know, coming to you live from Disneyland. And which we're not, folks. You know, it would be a lot more fun and a lot louder, actually. Anyway, give us a ring. And remember, as soon as you get through, you have to press 1 on your dial pad. So if you don't press 1, it puts you at the bottom of the list. And that's perfectly fine. You can just listen to the show. A lot of people call in just to listen because they're out and about and maybe they don't have a Wi-Fi connection or what have you, and they just want to dial into the show and listen, and that's perfectly fine. Just don't press 1. But if you want to be on with Rose and I, if you want to talk to us live, remember it's open line, so you can talk about anything you want. And you can ask for mini reading. Be sure to press 1 as soon as you get through at 714-816-4628. We also have the chat room going, Rose, on the Tarot Guild website.
Nice.
So they can join us in there. And you can ask questions, you can comment on the topic, you can ask for a mini reading, all right there in the chat room on the Tarot Guild website. It's thetarotguild.com, the Tarot Guild, and thetarotguild.com. Yeah, it's that easy. Just add a dot com there. Yeah, just press the link to the chat room. It's in the nav bar. Or you could just open a new tab in your browser, type in thetarotguild.com/chat. That'll take you in there as well. Just pop into the chat room with us. You have to sign up on the site to get into the chat room, okay? And we just do that. We do that to, try to dissuade some of the what's the word for it, Rose? You know, the people that just want to mess around and, you know, are not serious and hecklers and that kind of thing. You know, we make you sign up for the website, but it's 100% free. You can even sign up with your Facebook, Twitter, Google, any of your social sign-ins, or you can put in an email address and a password, and you just sign up. It takes, you know, less than a minute, and you can pop into the chat room there. And that way, during any of our shows, you can jump in the chat room here with other people and chat about the show and ask questions, get mini readings. Of course, we'd rather chat with you live on air. So if we get anything good in the chat room, we'll read that, you know, on air, but it would be more fun to chat with you on the phone. So give us a ring, 714-816-4628, and remember to press 1 as soon as you get through. So today we decided to talk about adding numerology to your tarot readings and creating added value. What do you think, Rose?
That sounds wonderful. I love numerology, actually.
I do too. It's one of my favorite things. And I kind of came up with the idea because Mary and I, for our Tarot Today radio show tomorrow, decided to do a topic combining tarot and oracle readings. Oracle cards are getting really. And Mary has, like, you know, all the tarot decks and all the oracle decks. And she'll pull tarot cards on the show and then pull an oracle card too, or an angel deck, you know, which those are technically oracle decks, you know. And she came up with this idea. Hey, why don't we talk about that? You know, talk about combining tarot and oracle readings. So you can add your oracle decks to your regular tarot readings, that you're doing a regular tarot reading, and you can pull oracle cards. And we're going to talk all about that on tomorrow's show. And I thought, hey, well, on the Friday show, why don't we talk about adding numerology to your tarot reading? So between today's show and tomorrow's show, Rose, we're going to give them some, you know, great ideas on adding value to their tarot readings. It's added value, I call it. So it's, taking the same product or service and adding something to it which creates additional value for the client, but doesn't, how should I put it, Rose, make it more expensive or more difficult for you as the provider.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
And I'm a big fan of that. You know, I'm a big fan in marketing in general, no matter what the product or service, you know, over-deliver. You know, it's like under-promise and then over-deliver, and you have a customer or a client for life. Doesn't that make sense?
It does indeed.
Awesome. So, okay, so we got some callers coming in. I'm just I keep checking the switchboard to see if we have callers coming in here. And we'll get to calls in just a minute. Meanwhile, we'll give you some time to ring in at 714-816-4628. And so numerology, you know, to me it's the easiest thing to add in, because it's intrinsic to the deck, the numerology. And
mm-hmm.
long before I got involved with tarot, I was already studying hypnosis, the power of the mind. I was always into mathematics and geometry, and it led me into, I discovered sacred geometry. I'm like, what's that? You know, and I started studying sacred geometry, and that led me into, you know, the elements, and, you know, from the Platonic solids, from Metatron's cube, and numerology, and numbers. And so by the time that I got to the tarot, and for me, my story is backwards from the average person. Most people discover tarot and then they, through their studies, are exposed to these other things, other correspondences to the deck, like astrological correspondences from Kabbalah or Kabbalah, however you want to pronounce it, and numerology, and there's a lot. Hermeticism, I mean, there's a lot of correspondences to the tarot deck. In fact, I always thought of it as the tarot deck being like the hub of the wheel, and everything else, all those other topics, were spokes on the wheel, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So most people, they, you know, discover or somehow they come upon tarot, and then they discover all these other things later, and they study them, you know, briefly, or unless they really, really like it, you know, it's just a very surface level understanding. Whereas I came to it the opposite way. I had already made a more in-depth study into sacred geometry, Metatron's cube, numerology. And so when I was introduced to the tarot deck, I looked at it, you know, took it apart, separated it by suit and everything like that. And I'm looking at it, Rose, and, you know, instantly it hits me. It's like, oh, this deck is like a physical embodiment of sacred geometry and numerology. It's a numerological based deck. It's got numbers on it. You know, but it's not just that it's got numbers on it. It's the structure of the deck itself. And we're doing that show tomorrow on adding Oracle cards and to your tarot readings. And then next month we're actually doing a show also, Mary and I, about Oracle cards again. We're going to be talking about, you know, are they going mainstream, which is how it seems that they're going mainstream. And the thing about Oracle cards, though, is that you'll have decks that have 39, 40 cards, or maybe they have 65 cards or 44 cards or 100 cards, you know, or 67 cards. There's no structure to it, really. In fact, most of them don't have suits. You know, when you look at the tarot deck and you see that you have the major arcana, which are like trump cards in bridge, in a bridge type game, you know, like Tarocchi is the original game that tarot was created for. And then you have the minor arcana, which is basically our poker deck. And it just has an added court card. Because, you know, in your playing card decks, you have kings and queens and what do they call them in my mind's kind of blanking here in poker decks. I'm so used to tarot now that kings, queens,
like
jacks.
Regular playing cards?
Yeah, jacks.
Oh.
Jacks.
Oh, jack. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's
right.
What I was trying to think of the word jack, you know, which the jack could be it could be the page or the knight, really. I always thought of it more as the knight. Other people think of it as pages, you know. But the point is there's, you know, in the playing cards, there's the three face cards. And then in tarot, you're adding a fourth face card, you know. And kind of the way I look at it is the playing cards we have now were derived from that, where they dropped one of the face cards. That makes more sense to me than it going the other way. But I'm not sure totally on the history on that, you know. But the tarot deck has this specific structure, whereas the Oracle decks, you know, they may not include the elements at all. They may not include suits at all. It may just be one giant suit of 100 cards with different meanings on them in different pictures, you know. And that's the only similarity to the tarot at all is that there are cards and they have pictures on them. some of them don't have any numbers on them either. Some of the Oracle decks and all. So, you know, that's some of the big differences between Oracle cards and tarot cards. The tarot cards have a very specific structure to them. And when you come from a background of numerology and sacred geometry, you see it instantly. Whereas somebody coming the other direction to this, that's why they don't see it readily. In fact, some people, even people that have been doing tarot, you know, studying tarot, reading tarot cards for years and years and years and years, you know, they know about these correspondences, but they think they're contrived. They don't think that they are they have anything to do with the deck itself. And so the point that I'm coming to, Dr. Rose, is that that may be true for some things. Like a lot of the astrological and other course that are made from Kabbalah and other systems do seem kind of contrived. They seem, you know, like shoehorned in.
Mm-hmm.
But the numerology is not. It's inherent. The numerology and the sacred geometry is absolutely necessary, is intrinsic to the deck. It is how the deck is put together. And so it makes it very easy to add numerology as an added value when doing readings. It's going to help you with the reading itself, but also there are things that you are adding information that you can give to your client by putting numerology into the reading and a few other things that we'll talk about in just a minute here. But to give you an indication, just a few quick little things that maybe not everybody, but some folks out there listening will get an aha moment from this, Dr. Rose. Because,
okay,
yes, there are numbers on the cards. So it's mm-hmm. like, oh, look, there's a connection to numerology because there's numbers on the card. But no, it goes much, much deeper than that. So in sacred geometry, we have something called the flower of life pattern. It's a geometric pattern. And it's the only pattern that goes back tens of thousands of years that we have evidence of it existing. We have it in stone and in carvings. And in every culture, everywhere around the entire globe, it's everywhere, this pattern. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go too deep into it because it can get complicated really quickly. But this pattern, when it's laid out to a certain size, because it's a pattern that's made from intersecting circles, and then lines can be drawn from the center of the circles. And what happens is there's another pattern that is created within the flower of life called Metatron's cube. And some of you may remember that Metatron is an archangel that doesn't appear in the Bible, but in some of the Apocrypha and in Jewish extra Talmud writings, they talk about Metatron. And I drew a blank on that, Dr. Rose. They think that he was one of the patriarchs, and God raised him up and made him an angel. You know, angels have never been human.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you got your humans here and your angels over here, but there's a couple that, and you can kind of tell from the name, all the angels that never had a physical body were never humans, end in L. Like Michael is actually Michael. Raphael is actually
right.
Raphael. They all end in L. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's where they got the idea for the names of Superman and his father and everything, actually derived from this.
Oh,
Jor-El
Kyle.
And Kyle, yeah. And Jor-El, that's where that comes from. El means God. And the other part of the name means, you know, something of God or something with God or something. You know, they're naming mm-hmm. the angels that way. But Metatron ends in on, O-N. And so does Sandalphon. Mm-hmm. Sandalphon and, mm-hmm. and Metatron are the two angels that they think were humans at one time and were raised up. And I'm forgetting the patriarch, Isaiah or Isaac and different names are running through my head right now. Where's Maria Moss when you need her? she would know right off the She would know right off the top of her head. Ezekiel.
Uriel.
That's the name of an angel. No, I'm trying to think of the patriarch that they think is the one that was raised to become Metatron. But
I have no idea.
A lot of the writings consider him the scribe of God. And because all the entire physical universe is made from Metatron's cube, that's why it's named after Metatron. Because within the cube, once you've formed the cube, you know, you have this flower of life that's created from circles that are intersecting, and then you draw lines between the center point. I talk a lot more about this in my course, Tarot by the Numbers, where you learn all of this. You learn not just tarot, but you learn the cards, but you learn numerology, you learn sacred geometry. You see how it all fits together, which I think makes you a better tarot reader. Because you then understand what's really, you know, what's really going on here. And so you got this this pattern, the flower of life, and by drawing those lines from the center of the circles in that pattern, when you go out in the pattern 13 circles, you're able to for the first time create this pattern, Metatron's cube, and you draw the lines, and it creates this geometric pattern. And within that pattern is what's called the five Platonic solids, named after Plato, the five Platonic solids. And each one of those is a geometric shape, and it's a primal shape. It's you can't create any. They each have different numbers of sides, and you can't create any more than five or any less. Like you can't find within the pattern it's really hard to describe. This is really complicated. But suffice it to say for our conversation here that there are these five patterns, which are the smallest, and like every other pattern is a combination of one or two of these five. And so this is the smallest you can get down to. So you got the five Platonic solids, and they correspond to the five elements. So you have earth, air, fire, water, and then the quintessential or fifth element. That's where you get, you know, the quintessential, the five from, is that there's these five elements. Four of them are named, and then there's this fifth element, which was also the name of the movie. The fifth element. And
right,
exactly. And this is fun stuff. Let's just start playing around with it. And the easiest way to describe that, it would be the element of spirit. Or source, or, you know, beyond the four elements, you know. And so everything that exists in the physical universe comes from one of, or a combination of, two or more of the five Platonic solids, or let's just say the five elements. Well, let's look at the tarot deck. You've got four suits in the minor arcana, each one corresponding to an element. And then you have the major arcana, which is like a fifth suit, which corresponds with the fifth element, the quintessential element or spirit. So you have fire, earth, air, water, spirit. So there's part of the structure. And then the numbers on the cards, the numbers in numerology are 1 through 9. And you have 1 through 9. In each of the suits. Now, there is a 10th card in each suit, you know, like the 10 of Wands, the 10 of Cups. There is a 10th card. 10 is just one. anything larger than one digit, you just add those digits together and just keep adding them together. It's called reduction in numerology to get down to a single mm-hmm. digit. So with 10, 1 plus 0 is 1. 10 is actually 1. And what's going on in tarot is the reason why there's not just 1 through 9, why we have 10, is it's a special case where we're adding this 10th card that is, it's beyond the 9 whole numbers. It's, how would I say it? It's overkill. It's beyond it. So basically it's the hairbreadth moment between the end of one cycle ending at 9 and the beginning of the new cycle at 1. That's what the 10 cards are in the tarot. And if you look at the actual cards, they all describe potentially overkill with that element, the Ten of Wands, which we usually describe as overburdened. And in the Rider-Waite-Smith version of the card, he's carrying this bundle of 10 wands. He's actually making it towards his goal, but it's a lot of work. He's carrying all, and remember, it's the fire element, so we're talking about passion. And it's almost like having too many passions, you know? It's all great, you know, going 1 through 9, but you get to 10, and it's overkill. It's overkill. It's like, you have too many irons in the fire. You need to pare it down, put some things on the back burner, you know, so you can make progress. Yeah. The Ten of Swords is a really good example of what I'm talking about here with 10. So you got this fella laying on the ground with 10 swords in his back. Do you really need 10 swords to kill somebody, Dr. Rose? You know?
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah, so see, it's overkill when you get to the 10.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people will say, "Well, wait a minute, the court cards don't have numbers on them."
Mm-hmm.
But when you come from a numerology background and you start studying what's going on with the court cards and the page and the knight and the queen and the king, you start to realize that, these are just the master numbers. 11, the master illuminator, is the page. And pages mm-hmm. can describe learning and students and are typically the representing someone that's younger, an adolescent. And the knight is, too, the master builder number, plans. And then 33 is the master teacher, master healer number, the queen. And then the kings, which is the penultimate, right, the king. And that's 44,
right.
the master manifester number. Who's more mm-hmm. of a master manifester than the king of everything, right? So,
mm-hmm. right.
They do have numerology to them. And then one last thing I'll leave you with to see this connection here is how many cards are in the deck. The tarot deck has a very specific structure. You have to have a specific number of cards, unlike an oracle. There's 78 cards in the tarot deck. Talking about Metatron's cube, and to form the cube, you have to draw these lines connecting the centers of the circles in the Flower of Life.
Right.
It takes exactly 78 lines to form Metatron's cube. Coincidence?
Wow.
Yeah. That's why this
yeah,
stuff
that's,
is so
that's,
fun.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So numerology is intrinsic to the deck itself. So it's very easy to add it in to your tarot readings and make them more valuable or add external value into the reading itself. So it's going to help you in the actual reading because you're able to look at the numbers and gain insight once you've studied numerology, sacred geometry. You have a grasp on the elements, a grasp on the numbers. As you're pulling cards and doing your readings the way you normally do, it's adding to the reading experience for you and the client because you can use the numerology, you see. And what I'm talking about is things like, let's say you get a lot of fives. We know that five is change in numerology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so yeah, you can look at what's going on with the numbers. You can also look for patterns. You can, by doing the client's numerology before the reading, you can then, you know, their life path number, their attitude number. You can look for those numbers appearing in the cards, you see.
Yeah.
So a lot of readers, what they do, Rose, is they look for the astrological correspondences. Like they know the person's a Gemini, and so they're looking for cards that correspond to Gemini to pop up in the reading. This is similar to that, only from my point of view, it knowing how numerology works and knowing about life paths and attitude numbers and the nine numbers in the chart, it just seems more effective and more easy. It seems easier to me too, you know, because I know that if there are life paths six, I'm just looking for six, and I'm not trying to remember what the correspondences are to the 12 astrological signs, you know, the sun signs and other other parts of astrology and stuff like that. To me, numbers are just a lot easier to work with, you know, and I often say on the show when I'm talking about a sun sign or something like that, because I do give that out, you know, if somebody's asking a romance reading and I see one of the one or more of the core cards pop up, you know, I'll look at the element and look at the core card and try to figure out, you know, what sun sign we're talking about there. But I always tell everybody on these shows that I'm not an astrologer. Astrology is really hard.
it's a very complicated system.
Exactly. And numerology, there's only nine numbers. It's very easy to learn. Yes, there's also the master numbers, but they're made up of the nine numbers, you know. So master number 11 is made up of one and one, you know. So you only have to learn the nine numbers. And also, that's why I teach tarot this way, you see. Now that, you know, I've gone through this and shown how the tarot deck is based on numerology and sacred geometry,
mm-hmm.
you can see why my course is called Tarot by the Numbers. And what I do is, and I've been teaching tarot this way since the early 2000s.
Uh-huh.
17, 18 years. Basically, divide the deck up by the numbers.
Uh-huh.
All the ones and all the cards that reduce to one. So the tens reduce to one. And then in the majors, all the cards that would reduce down to one or are one, like the magician. And so you separate them all, and then the twos, and then the threes, and then the fours, and then the fives. You separate them by number. And basically, if you think about it, having the five suits and the nine numbers plus 10, the overkill number, if you have a firm grasp of the five elements and of the nine numbers, so think of the elements going down this axis, and then going across the other axis is the numbers. Where they intersect are all the cards. So for me, it's also a lot easier to learn tarot this way, because you're able to just it's not just looking at the images, and yes, that helps a lot, you know, the symbology, uh-huh. and you know, but it doesn't require rote memorization of 78 cards or 156 possibilities if you're using reversals as well. Instead, all you need to learn is the nine numbers and the five elements, and where they intersect are all the cards. And so without even seeing the image on a card, I could have a card with, I don't need images, because I know what the numbers mean and I know what the elements mean. And so I don't even need images. You could give me a deck of cards with just the number on it and the element, and that's all you need. You can make an entire deck like that, you know. Talk about the ultimate reductionist deck, you know, no images, just one fire, you know, or two pentacle, you know. It's fantastic. You know, I think it's the best way to learn, and that's why I've been teaching it this way coming up on 20 years now, is doing it this way. Yeah. So to add value.
That's fantastic.
And just to wrap all this up, and to add value to your readings, by learning numerology and being able to pull cards and do a reading for somebody and be able to pull even more information out of the cards than face value, because now you know the numbers mean. And it just gives you a deeper understanding and feeling for the cards themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you can add value, as I said earlier, by being able to look at the numbers, associate somebody's, say, life path, you know, their life path seven, and you see the sevens coming up in a reading. Also, just the numbers themselves. And as well as timing, a lot of clients ask about timing, and if you know your numbers and you're able to look at the elements and look at the numbers and have a timing card, and you're able to figure out timing for people as well. And one last thing is that you can literally give them a numerology on their numerology to add value to your reading. In fact, that's how I start all my readings out, Rose, is the first thing I do is I get the information that I need to figure out the nine-number chart, which is their birthday.
Mm-hmm.
The name they go by now, and the name, how it appeared on their birth certificate. We never get away from that name, even if you change your name, you know, like Reggie changed his name to Elton John, you know, it's like, but I would need the birth certificate name, the name they go by now, and their birth date. Real simple stuff. And there's lots of numerology calculators out there. You could do this by hand, but if you just pop it into the numerology calculator, type in their name, birth name, and type in the birth date, you know, it's going to spit out the nine numbers, makes it really easy for you. Of course, in my course, Tarot by the Numbers, I teach you how to do it manually first, you know, so that, you know, if you just have a piece of paper and you find yourself at a party, you can start doing some fun things for people, telling them, you know, where they are in their personal year cycle, what their life path number is, their attitude number, you know, it's great at parties, let me tell you, and you can do it just with a piece of paper or the calculator on your cell phone. But you can also download numerology apps on your cell phone. I use one on my laptop that I just prefer because it gives me the numbers the way I like it. And, you just pop it in there. You get the nine numbers from that create their chart from their name and their birth date, and then you're able also to see where they are in their personal year cycle, and you can take that information, and in the course I teach you how to create a full report from the chart.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I sit down and do an actual reading then with the client, I can hand them this report. Or most of the time nowadays, we're doing it over Skype or FaceTime or Zoom or something, or the telephone or what have you. So I'll email them a copy of the report even before we get together for the reading. So it's added value. It doesn't take that much effort on my part, but for them, look at all this information. We haven't even pulled cards yet, right? And so I give them time to look it over. Maybe I send it the night before when we're scheduled to have our reading, and then we sit down for the reading, and the first thing we do is quickly go through the numerology chart and the report and ask them if they have any questions. And they're booking a reading with you. Typically they know why they have questions. Often the numerology report and the information from the numerology alone will answer a lot of their questions, and it leads to them, often changing what they're going to ask in the actual reading, because they came with this one question and it's answered in the numerology sometimes, so it really adds a lot of value to your tarot readings. And I think it enhances the readings themselves, but it also allows you to give additional information, insight, by knowing where they are in their 9-year cycle, by knowing their life path, their attitude number, their strengths, their weaknesses, what they're better at career-wise, things like that. It's all answered there in the numbers, and then we can pull cards on top of that. It makes it really, really powerful. So there you go. That's why I think studying numerology, sacred geometry, and adding numerology to your tarot readings really creates a lot of added value. What do you think, Rose? You got any questions on that, by the way?
Yeah, that's great information. I was wondering, one of the questions that I had is about, and you might have addressed this, but I wasn't sure, in terms of the history of the creation of the tarot deck, the original deck, were the numbers supposed to have a particular kind of meaning, or did they just symbolize the structure? I mean, I know like the Ace of Cups has a particular meaning, the Two of Cups, the Three of Cups. But is that, well, I guess that's a part of the meaning then. And that's why they had the one, the two, or whatnot on there.
Mm-hmm.
What about the major arcana? I've always heard the major arcana was created and such to deal with the different things that human beings go through from, in terms of that numbering. Or do you have any more insight about that?
Right. And so, they're, unlike the suits in the minor arcana, where it's 1 through 10. And so it's the numbers 1 through 9 from numerology with the overkill number 10. It's a special case in tarot where numerologists let you get away with having a 10, But in the major arcana, people will go, yeah, but wait a minute. There's more than 9 cards. There's 22 cards. By the way, 22 is the master builder number in numerology.
Oh, right. Hmm. You said that. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Why is there 22? Well, the thing is that although you have card 18 and card 20, you add those two numbers together and you still get down to the one of the 9 numbers, you see. So that's how you do it with the major arcana, is you add the numbers together. There's really only ever 1 through 9, and so there's only ever the essence or meanings of those 9 numbers. Okay? And that's something I didn't mention, that in addition to talking about how there's 78 cards in the deck, which is the number of lines it takes to form Metatron's cube. In addition to that, other numerological things is like the Major Arcana has 22 cards in it. That's the Master Builder number. The Minor Arcana has 56 cards. 5 plus 6 is 11, the Master Illuminator number. So what happens when you add 11 to 22? So the Major Arcana, 22, the Minor Arcana, 11, you get 33. The Master Teacher number.
Wow. And we don't have any idea of... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, two things. One is there's a lot of this. And that's why, unlike some of the other associations, numerology is not an association. Numerology is the deck. That's how the deck was created.
Right.
Now, to go back to your original question, though, don't know the original deck, the very first deck. It goes back 600 years. And the earliest surviving deck that we know of, is the Visconti Cervosa deck. There's even debate about that, because there are some other decks out there that they think, you know, may even predate that one. And it's not even a complete deck, but it's the earliest known, still existing tarot that we have. But that's not the first deck. We don't know what the first deck is, you see, because there is this deck, you know, this earliest surviving they think it's from the 1420s, I believe. It's the early 1400s is what that deck dates. In order for that deck to exist, there had to have been a deck before that.
Right. Okay.
And there's no record. There are some records that date from the late 1300s that they think maybe might be talking about a tarot deck. It's definitely talking about a deck, but they don't know if it was a tarot deck that was being commissioned to be painted. Back then they were painted, obviously. We didn't have the printing press. So they don't know how far it goes back. You know, and anybody that says that they know, they don't. They're lying. They don't really know. And as far as we can tell, playing cards existed before. And then this fifth suit was added, the trump cards, and the idea was to play it in a trick-taking game, a bridge-type game. And the earliest one that they can find that they think that the deck was made for was Tarocchi. And we're talking about Italy. This is Renaissance Italy, right? And so they think that the deck was created for this, you know. We don't have any evidence. There's nothing saying that the first deck was created for this reason or that reason. There's no way to tell. And there's been all these mythologies and crazy stories, you know. It's like, it dates back to Atlantis, or it comes from Egypt, or, you know, ancient Egypt or something like that, you know. There's no evidence. There's no evidence of that. However, opposite side of the argument, there's no evidence to the contrary either. You see, we just don't know. So in these conversations, what I always say to people is, what can we look at? Well, we can look at the actual deck. And see, if you dissect the deck itself and look at look at the structure. Look at what the elements, what makes it up. It's obvious that it was put together on purpose in a specific way, which I doubt was just for a game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would have to be an enormous coincidence. And I don't believe in coincidences. I think everything is synchronistic. Just do not believe in coincidences at all. And so when mm-hmm. when you look at this, okay, and there's 78 lines to make Metatron's cube, and this deck is made of 78 cards, well, you have to think to yourself, why? Why, Rose? Why would somebody make a 78-card deck? Why didn't they make an 80-card deck or a 60-card deck or a 123-card deck? Why 78? And why are there five sections?
Right.
And there's five platonic solids and five elements. Why five? You know, why isn't there six suits or 20 suits or seven suits?
Right.
You know, it's too much of a coincidence for it to just be, oh yeah, we're gonna I want to, you know, drink wine and play a card game. Let's make up this deck. You know, because that's what a lot of people say. You know, lot of very famous people, very famous tarotists, people, you know, that are experts on tarot, the pendulum's come, you know, full swing. You know, the pendulum had swung way over there to the left where it's from Lemuria. It's from Atlantis. You know, these crazy stories. And now the pendulum has swung all the way back to the opposite direction. It was never for divination. It was never for information. It was never for anything. It was just a deck of cards made to play this game. And I'm like, really? Really? Anyway,
right.
So yeah, you know, to answer your question, we don't know. I'm trying to remember your original question about the numbers and the what you were asking about how the original deck, you know, we just don't know. We just don't know.
Yeah.
But all we can do is extrapolate by looking at the deck itself, examining
mm-hmm.
the deck. You know, and when you come to this with foreknowledge from sacred geometry and numerology, it's very easy to see what's going on with the deck and the structure and why it was put together the way it was put together. It's just blatantly obvious, you know, and so therefore those numbers and the meanings of the numbers, there's a reason for that.
Right.
Yeah. Now the divinatory meanings were created much later, like starting with the 1700s and throughout the 1800s, coming
mm-hmm.
out with the divinatory meanings, you know. But the inherent divinatory meanings based on the numerology and the elements goes all the way back to the creation of the deck, because they were always there. So, you know, a lot of people
mm-hmm.
nowadays want to say, oh, you know, the deck wasn't even created for divination. Well, that may be true, but it still had all the elements of it in it because of the structure.
Right.
And so, you know, yeah, they might not have started till the 1700s using it for divination, doing readings for people, but it was all already there. And I don't really think, you know, my personal opinion is you know, the first written evidence we have is from the late 1700s, but I think that there was folks, even if they only got a hold of one of these decks, you know, and played Tarocchi with it, that I'm sure there's some people that use it for divination, even back in the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s. That's
mm-hmm.
my theory. Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else about that?
I just find all of this fascinating. I think you're right that, you know,
yeah,
there are no coincidences in terms of the connection with numerology and tarot. So,
right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hey,
fascinating.
So, shameless plug. I suggest if you're fascinated by this, to take my course, Tarot by the Numbers. And it's for the summer sale. It's 40% off right now over at thetarotguild.com. Just click on Learn Tarot, and it's already discounted
right.
for you down to $47. You know, the number of cards, 78, you know, that's what we actually charge to enroll in the course, $78 normally. But right now it's 40% off. It's just $47 to enroll in the course. And you can learn all of this
right.
and learn tarot, learn numerology side by side, and you also learn how to make the numerology reports, the chart, and create all this added value for your clients, you know, and it's just $47 right now. In fact, the summer sale is going away soon because we're almost in fall.
I know. Yeah. Don't sleep on this opportunity, folks.
it's only going to be around to the end of the month, folks. Yep. TheTarotGuild.com/learn. And you can also join the Tarot Guild for $47 right now, too. If you're already a professional reader and you want to get your certification and join a professionals organization for professional readers, we've been the international organization for tarot enthusiasts, tarot lovers, tarot students, and professional readers since 2004, within our 16th year. And
wow.
It's normally $78 to join the guild for the year. I think that's like $3-something a month to be a member of the guild. And right now it's 40% off. It's just $47, and you can get your certification is included free, the first level, and there's other levels of certification, and those are discounted when you're a member. So you can join, get the CTR, the Certified Tarot Reader level certification, and can get the other levels too at a huge discount. I think we charge non-members at $78 a level, and for our members it's $47 a level. So there you go. You'll find that at thetarotguild.com/join, and it's all right there on the website, thetarotguild.com. Yep. So let's see if we can take a phone call here real quick, Rose. Do you want to let us know before we go to the phones what's coming up on the network, upcoming episodes?
Hey. All
yeah.
right. So tomorrow, Saturday, at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, we have combining tarot and oracle reading. And that is with the Tarot Today radio show with host Mary Brown and Dax Carlisle with Open Lines and Tarot Mini Reading. So that's happening tomorrow, folks. And if you want to learn more about the tarot, combining the tarot and the oracle readings, don't miss that show. And on Sunday, we have Open Lines, Angel Reiki, and free tarot readings for the whole show. That's with Magic Universe with host Sharona Rapsick. That's Sunday at 11 a.m., 2 p.m. Eastern. And then on Monday, we don't have the Wisdom of the Soul with Janice Fuchs. That's she will be returning towards the end of the month. But on Wednesday, we have the Compassionate Light Healing and Guidance Hour with Catherine Hahn. And on that day, she will be doing a show called, called Trust Yourself. And this is a part of her series wrap-up. So that's Wednesday at 11 a.m., 2 p.m. Eastern. So I guess the timing is still the same regardless of what day I'm talking about, everybody. So it's 11 a.m., 2 p.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern. And then next Friday, Dr. Rose and Dr. Dax will be taking a little bit of time off, you know, to catch our breath, taking a break, and looking at what we're setting up for September. Oh, my God, September's here. This year's going by so fast with all the stuff that's been happening. But we will return the following Friday. But on Friday, August 28th, we will be off for that day. And that's what's coming up for the week. So we have a really great combination of shows and topics, and you know, I highly recommend that you guys tune in. And if you're not able to tune in during the live time, which we'd rather prefer you do if you're able to, but if you're not, remember that to check your local podcast app, and you can catch up. You know, we've done a lot of shows. How many shows? Do you know, Dex, how many shows we've or episodes we've actually done for the Psychic Talk Network? What, are we at 500, 1,000 or something like that? I don't know if you...
Actually, yeah, they have a counter. If you go to our page, Psychic Talk Network on blogtalkradio.com, we're at 596 episodes. So
wow.
We are going to have our 600th episode coming up in a week.
Wow, that's fantastic. So we have so many shows and episodes that we've done. I highly recommend that you guys, check your podcast app and look at some of the mm-hmm. check out some of our previous shows. You know,
in fact, I'm glad you brought that up.
Coaching.
I'm glad you brought that
Go
up
ahead.
Because I got to tell Mary that the 600th episode, 600th. Oh my God, I was trying to drink some coffee there and I got. stuck in my throat. It's next Saturday, actually. It's the 29th of August. I just count it. Four more shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Saturday the 29th is our 600th episode. Oh, my God.
Woo-hoo!
So I got to tell Mary, we
wow.
got to celebrate next Saturday. We got to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And I did want to mention that our next show will be in 2 weeks. So we'll be back on Friday, September 4th, and it's going to be open lines, tarot mini readings, and life coaching all show long, the entire show, no topic, just you guys. You guys are the topic.
Cool.
Awesome sauce. Yep. You can always
awesome.
Find all the upcoming shows. I don't know if you already let them know or not, but it's psychetalk.net/upcoming. Find all of that. Oh, Charlotte is in the chat room. She's sitting there. She says, howdy. She's sitting by herself in the chat room. She's feeling a little lonely in the chat room there.
Oh,
oh awesome sauce. So we're already past the top of the hour. The topic went a little long there, but, you know, it's something I'm passionate about, so I get excited, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we have time to take a call, so we'll squeeze a call in, and when we come back in 2 weeks, hey, you know, mark your calendars. The 4th of September, all show long, call in real early because we'll be taking calls right away from the very beginning. But we've got a caller here on area code, let's see, 216. 216.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, where are you calling from? What's your name? Are you there?
Calling from Cleveland, Ohio. My name is Patricia.
Hi,
Patricia.
Hi, Patricia. How's it going?
Busy. I'd like
busy,
to find
busy.
Out that this numerology for my businesses that I'm creating and just
oh, cool.
doing training for myself, the speaking, the writing, and an energy healing. What can you the reading for that, and I started
awesome.
the advertisement on LinkedIn. I mean, I'm writing basically to create
mm-hmm.
my expertise, my credibility and visibility at LinkedIn. I know that's a business one, writing posts and
right.
articles. And then on Facebook, I'm writing posts. No website, but hey, I'm just, my intentions are to obtain paying clients. I've started writing posts, what, back in March on LinkedIn and on June and Facebook on a weekly basis. But what from a numerology standpoint for all of those. And the speaking is just writing out the talks and then just practicing in front of a mirror and just practicing, period. And obviously it's all going to be virtual.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of business? What are you doing? I don't know if you mentioned that.
Speaking, writing.
Speaking
energy
and writing.
Healing. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's energy healing is the actual topic, what you're actually doing.
They're going to be three separate. They're all going to intertwine with each other.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. So I'm glad you brought this up. Rose, this is another added value, by the way, that fits perfectly with our topic here. Because another thing that folks go to numerologists for is the naming of things. Because the letters can be reduced to a change to a number. Pythagoras, 2,500 years ago, gave us that, and with the English language, no less. And we're able to look at the names of people, the names of businesses. Now, think about it for a second, Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Think about oh gosh, I'm sorry. The caller, I forgot your name. I thought we got it into the
Patricia.
List here. I typed in Patricia, but it disappeared. Here, let me type it in again. Patricia,
okay.
I wanted to type it in on your phone line there so we know who we're talking to here. So Patricia and Rose, if you think about it, classically when you're doing numerology for a client and they give you their name and their birth date and you extrapolate the 9 number chart from that, what are you doing? You're taking their name and the date that they were born and you're finding out information about them. Well, guess what? You could their way around. If you have a certain energy that you want to put onto something, whether it be a business or a person, you can go the opposite direction by looking at names, finding the energy, and depending on what energy you want to go with, you could pick a name that has that energy within its numerology. So folks that are pregnant and, you know, they're about to have a baby will go to a numerologist because they want a specific name with a specific kind of energy. And it's like, okay, well, we're thinking about, you know, and they'll run through a list of, you know, 10 different names, popping it in the numerology calculator, getting down to the single digit with that energy. And in order to pick a name. People that are before that happens, hopefully they're getting married. Well, that's another thing. You can pick your date that you're getting married on.
Cool.
You can pick the date that your business is launching. You can pick the energy for the business by looking at different names and alterations of individual names to get a particular energy. You know, right off the top of your head, the first thing people think of is, well, I want my business to be successful and abundant and I want to make a lot of money. Well, that's 8. But not everybody has that end result.
Yeah.
If your business is based around adventure and excitement, you might want the 5 energy. If it's a philanthropic entity, you want to help people, you might want the 9 energy. Or the hearth and home, the 6 energy. So it all depends on what the end result what you want it to be. And that's how you base deciding on a name, for instance. Another thing you can do is you can look at addresses. What's the address of the building that your business is going to be in? Maybe you're looking at two or three different locations. You can go to a numerologist and have them, you know, analyze that for you and figure out what the energy is of those locations. And if you're already stuck, I've already signed the lease on this. Here's the energy on this address. Oh, I don't like that energy. I want this energy. Oh, okay. We can change the energy without changing the address. We can look at the numbers. Yeah, you can look at the numbers in the address. And you can do this for your house. You can analyze the address of your house. And let's say, just off the top of my head, let's say it's a 6 energy. And you want it to be, or let me see. I'm trying to think of a good example. Well, it doesn't really matter. But just as an example, I'm going to say the address reduces to 5, which if you listen to the show a lot, Rose, right, I'm always telling people that, you know, that's that adventurous high energy number, but it's also in numerology called the chaos number. Yes. And who wants an address that's chaos, right?
Right.
You may want the energy to be a 6, which is that more hearth and home type feeling. Well, how do you get to 6 from 5? You add 1, right? 1 plus 5 is 6. So you write the number 1 on a piece of paper, and you put it up on the wall right next to the front door to change the number. Just like I tell people that, you know, for abundance financially, you draw the number 8 on a piece of paper and you put it in your wallet and you carry it around with you. Or put it in your purse, you know. And being a tarot person, I carry the 8 of pentacles around with me in my wallet. So that's what can be done with businesses. And, of course, you know, we're at the end of the show. We only have a few minutes here, Patricia, you know, so we don't have time to go through an entire analysis of, you know, the names of your businesses, if there's more than one name and all that stuff. But I just wanted to let you know some of the things that can be done with the numerology. But I did pull cards to take a look at this venture, and you know, the thing, it's looking really, really good, because the central focus card is the Ace of Coins, and that is literally a new business venture, the beginning or essence of Venus and pleasure, abundance, and physical energy. It looks really good. Right next to that is the 9 of Cups, which is traditionally we call it the Wish Come True card. So it's looking really, really good. Trying to see if there's any, you know, typically the tarot tells us, you know, what you need to know right now. And I'm looking to see if there's any qualifiers. I am getting the 8 of Cups. Again, 8 is abundance. Yay. You know, what's going on in that card, though, is cups are water. Cups is emotions. And this person has lined up, and this is to the left, so I'm thinking towards the recent past, taking care of the emotional baggage, lined everything up. They have their traveling cloak on, they have their walking stick, and they're moving up the side of the hill away from us, onward and upward. And you know, that's looks like what you've done. And so I just wanted to point out that that was showing up here. And if you haven't done that, it's a hint at something you might need to work on. You know, any emotional baggage from the past, especially around career and around business, you know, although it doesn't have to be. It could be some other part of your life that might be interfering with this project. But, yeah, that's what you want to work on. But ultimately, everything's looking really, really good. unless you have any, you know, specific questions you want to ask.
Yeah, right now, as I said, the business, they're all going to be online. The healing is going to be remote. And, of course, the speaking for the time being, probably a year to 2 years, will be remote, virtual, and the writing will be so.
Everything's going that way. Yeah, everything's going that way, virtual and online. And what were you saying, Pat?
Patricia, does that change the energy?
Does what change the energy?
Them being online as opposed to having a physical building or address.
No.
All right. That's
nope.
It. Thank you.
Does it affect it? Thanks for calling in, Patricia. You have a great rest of your weekend there.
Yeah, best of luck with your businesses.
Good luck on that. It sounds good. And in the cards, hey, it's looking really, really good, businesses for her. There really is no difference whether it's online or at a physical location.
Right.
Except one caveat, which is that physical locations have an energy.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's no physical address to online, you know, it's the cloud and the bits that make up the information that makes up your online business, whether it's your website or your social media platforms. You know, they're on servers, you know, the servers are all around the world, Rose. You know,
thought of something.
Pin that down.
You know, IP addresses, not that you can, I don't know if you can change it. I'm not that technically savvy, but, you know, there are IP addresses. If you're running a business out of your home, you know, every computer has an IP address. I wonder if that's something. I mean, Yeah. It was just something that popped into my head. That's all. It might be silly.
No, it's not silly. I mean, I've thought about that in the past myself. The problem with IP addresses is, some of them aren't static. Sometimes, you know, especially if you're talking about your website, your physical IP address. Like if you're doing it out of your home, I don't think that changes. But I know if you're on a shared server and you don't have a permanent IP address, it'll rotate. So, you know, that would change it. And, you know, I don't think anybody's ever researched this. It would actually be an interesting project to do the numerology on IP addresses and see if there's any correlation there. I really don't get the feeling, though. I don't get the feeling that it really affects anything, whereas a physical address does. You know, and the reason for that, I think, is because where the business is located and what you're doing. And let's say you're a hairdresser. Okay, so your clients are coming to the address. You're coming to the address. What is actually transpiring in the customer client customer or client / provider relationship, which in this case is the cutting of the hair, is also happening in that location. You see, everything comes down to that location. And that's why the energy is important there. Whereas online businesses, you know, the clients are all over the globe. You could be in your house, but hey, tomorrow you could be on the beach, or the next day you could be in a coffee shop running the business. So the physical location doesn't have as much effect like when you have a brick and mortar business. That's what I want to
say. Yeah. Okay. I was just curious about that. It was just something that popped in my head.
But there's a lot of value in looking at those energies, And people actually do this. They go to numerologists and have their home location, their business location analyzed, their kids' names, you know, their names, and it's just some powerful information.
Mm-hmm.
And no one is really sure exactly why this works, but it does work. So we go with it.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're at the end of the show. Boy, this was a great show. I had a lot of fun talking about my favorite topics.
Yeah.
Remember, we're taking next week off, but we'll be back in 2 weeks. I'll be back tomorrow with Mary Brown on Tarot Today Radio on the Psychic Talk Radio Network. And we're going to be talking about adding oracle cards and oracles to your tarot reading. So today you got the numerology, and tomorrow the oracle cards. So
yeah.
By the end of the weekend, Rose, people are going to have a lot of stuff they can add value to their tarot reading. You know, not that there's anything wrong with just sitting down and doing a tarot reading. There's nothing wrong with
that. Right.
But being an organization for professional readers, the Tarot Guild, you know, that's what we're about, is how to enhance your business and you know, add value. And adding value is not only – I'll leave everybody with this, Rose. Adding value is not just providing more. You know,
mm-hmm.
like I said, you know, how did I word it? I forgot now. Promise lower and deliver and over deliver. Under promise and over deliver. That's the phrase.
Oh, under. Right.
Under promise, over deliver. Yeah, I was trying to remember what I said. I couldn't even remember. So it's not only that, though, Rose. It's not only
mm-hmm.
allowing you to over-deliver. Also, your services are more valuable now. You can raise your rate.
Okay.
You know, yeah. So if, you know, I don't know of a good example off the top of my head, but you know, if you're charging $100 for a reading and you add in the numerology and the numerology reports and things like this, you know, and add this value, you know, it's worth more value, you know? So now maybe
right.
you charge $120, $150 a session, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Well, thanks, Rose.
Yeah.
This was a lot of fun today.
Well, yeah, and thank you so much, Dax, for enlightening us on, you know, the connections between numerology and tarot. It's a fascinating topic.
I love it. You can study this stuff forever. Let me tell you. When I tried to make it, I tried to pare it down and make it as concise and digestible as possible. With the Tarot by the Numbers course. So I highly recommend that everybody, you know, enroll in the course if you're interested in this stuff. You're going to get a lot out of it. And, of course, you get access to me and you can ask all kinds of questions about that. All righty. So I will see you tomorrow. Rose, you'll be here in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to catch the show tomorrow because I want to hear about the Oracle decks, since that's something I'm recently interested in. But more on that later.
More on that later. When we come back, yeah, who knows, 2 weeks from now, what things, you know, you might be bringing into the show.
That's right.
Thanks, everybody. Goodbye. Goodbye,
Rose. Goodbye, everybody. Bye now.